top stories this hour. Guatemala probes an American covert program involving the transfer of sexually transmitted diseases to its people. U.S. budget cuts halt police training amid high job loss among police officers. And also this bulletin, a U.S.-led military operation in Afghanistan kills 18 people. You're watching World News here on Press TV. We're coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, Guatemala's government has formed a committee to investigate how U.S. scientists deliberately infected 1,500 Guatemalans with sexually transmitted diseases. Officials say the goal of the committee is to determine who had knowledge of the study and who the victims were. The U.S. government-funded experiment involved the infection of Guatemalans with gonorrhea and syphilis from 1946 to 1948. Their goal was to test the effectiveness of penicillin against STDs. The subjects included mental patients, soldiers, and sex workers. The Guatemalan Medical Association has compared the experiments to those conducted by Nazi Germany. Washington has apologized for them. The U.S. Supreme Court has dismissed a plea from lawyers of detainees held at the Guantanamo Bay prison camp for information on whether their clients have been wiretapped. Now, the lawsuit filed by 23 lawyers argues that the National Security Agency must disclose if it has spied on conversations between Guantanamo detainees and their attorneys. The lawyers first brought the case to the courts in 2007 in New York. The federal court, however, ruled in favor of the National Security Agency. Intelligence services were given the authority to carry out wiretaps without first obtaining court approval after the September 11th attacks. However, the existence of such tapes was only brought to light in 2005. And while hundreds of police officers are losing their jobs across the United States, the country's economic downturn is taking another toll. Law enforcement officials say nearly 70% of police agencies cut back or eliminate basic training programs this year. They say they did so because their budgets for police training were cut. Training courses include a wide range of courses from ethics and basic legal training to instruction on the proper use of force. Several police chiefs have refused to curtail training because they're concerned about its impact. They argue that a cut in police training will lead to mistakes and that more officers will be sued and fired as a result. Well, U.S. stocks have dropped amid concerns over upcoming third-quarter earning reports. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost more than 78 points at closing on Monday, and Nasdaq Composite Index shed over 26 points. Investors pulled back after recent strong gains. Sentiment was weighed down by a sharp drop in American Express shares. This after the Department of Justice filed a lawsuit against the credit card company for allegedly restricting merchants. Tension is also mounting ahead of the expected release of key employment data later this week. Well, meanwhile, the U.S. Justice Department has sued the three largest credit card companies in the country for breaching antitrust laws. MasterCard, American Express, and Visa have been accused of anti-competitive practices. They prevented store owners from rewarding consumers when they use cheaper or rival credit cards. Justice officials say they have reached a settlement with two of the companies. Under the settlement, Visa and MasterCard have agreed not to prohibit merchants from offering customers discounts or rebates for using a particular kind of card. American Express has denied wrongdoing and pledged to fight the charges. The company claims that the proposed measures will hamper fair competition. At least 18 people have been killed in an attack by U.S.-led troops in southern Afghanistan. Local sources say the victims died after foreign forces targeted the Kajaki district in southern Helmand province. NATO has confirmed the incident but claims 10 militants were killed. The attack comes one day after a U.S.-led airstrike killed over 20 people in the same province. NATO says that the assault targeted Taliban militants, but local witnesses and Afghan authorities say civilians were among the dead. Civilian deaths at the hands of U.S.-led foreign troops have long enraged the Afghan population and drawn strong criticism from Kabul. At least five U.S.-led foreign soldiers have been killed in separate incidents across Afghanistan. NATO's International Security Assistance Force, or ISAF, says four soldiers were killed in bomb attacks in the south and a fifth died fighting militants in the east. ISAF did not give the nationalities of the soldiers. So far this year, 561 U.S.-led soldiers have been killed in the war-torn country. 2010 has been the deadliest year for occupation forces since the U.S.-led invasion began almost a decade ago. Well, meanwhile, another non-UN-sanctioned attack by unmanned U.S. planes on Pakistan's tribal areas near the Afghan border. This time, a U.S. drone has bombed a house in North Waziristan, killing at least 10 people. Several others were wounded in the attack. Officials say the house belonged to a local resident. The death toll is expected to rise. U.S.-led NATO forces have carried out a record number of non-UN-sanctioned airstrikes in Pakistan this year. Now, this has turned into a source of tension between Islamabad and Washington. Well, to discuss this further, we're being joined by Marvin G. Weinbaum. He's a scholar in residence with the Middle East Institute. Now, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, sir. Now, this latest strike comes as Pakistan closed the main NATO supply route last week to protest a helicopter attack that killed three border guards. Do you think this PR move, as many call it, will be enough to boost the government's standing as it struggles for stability and acceptance?
Well, the government had to react because it's a weak government. And this gave them an opportunity to show some backbone. Even though I think there's a clear recognition by the government that they can't allow the stoppage of traffic to go on very long without really making for a major confrontation with the NATO forces.
Right. Now, the Pakistani government has admitted to collaborating with the NATO and CIA with regards to these drone strikes. But it seems redundant as far as taking action unilaterally in its war on terror. How do you assess Pakistan's double game of trying to appease the U.S. and still maintain a relationship with the Taliban in case of a power vacuum left behind once the U.S. withdraws?
First of all, the drone attacks are of many different kinds. Some of them, for example, have aimed at the Pakistani Taliban and the forces allied with them, and so actually work to the benefit of the Pakistan military in its campaign against the Taliban. Others have been directed, for example, at the Haqqani family, which does get support from Pakistan's Inter-Services Intelligence Division, but is considered in Afghanistan as a very effective insurgent group, perhaps more deadly in a way in its ability to carry out operations than the Afghan Taliban. So Pakistan really in some ways has it both ways. It wants very much to, it has to, it feels, for economic reasons as well as the military's needs, it has to keep a relationship, particularly with the United States, intact, but at the same time finds that it has a public which is very much set against the United States, and so it has to placate the public as well. And so you get this. One thing that's very interesting in this criticism of U.S. Attacks, and that is even including the attack on the border post, and that is most of the criticism, if not all the criticism, is coming from the elected government and not from the military command. I think there's a great deal to be said in that. Also note that in closing the border, only one of the two major border points have been closed, which indicates, I think, that this is what we would call a shot across the bow rather than a concerted effort here to to confront the United States.
Right now, the drone attacks have been criticized as targeted and extrajudicial killings by the UN, pronouncing them in breach of international law. Why is it that despite such criticism and the ineffectiveness of these attacks, so to speak, the U.S. pushes on with them?
Well, I would take issue with that because it's because they have been effective that the U.S. feels it has to, for one reason, of course, that it hopes with this to break up some of the leadership which is behind the infiltration, and it has succeeded in the killing of at least 10 to 12 Al-Qaeda figures. Now, this is another category, but this has been viewed as quite important. So it is both an attempt here to break up planning, which is believed to take place in the area, and the latest attack against this that included the Germans is of that order, where the object here is to break up what is considered to be planning terrorist attacks in the West, and at the same time also to set back the supporters of the infiltration inside Afghanistan. But what has to be recognized is that of late, the criticism of the drone attacks has not been that innocent people have gotten killed. It's been based mainly on sovereignty, that these violate Pakistan's airspace and the unilateral nature of them. But of course, it's not unilateral if they are getting intelligence assistance from the Pakistan military itself.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Marvin G. Weinbaum, scholar in residence with the Middle East Institute, speaking to us from Washington. Many thanks indeed, sir, for your insights here on Press TV. Well, moving on now, a new footage of NATO helicopters' deadly incursion into Pakistan last week has surfaced. Now, the video shows the site of the attack and a number of injured Pakistani soldiers being taken away on stretchers. NATO forces killed 3 Pakistani troops during the incursion, which took place last Thursday. The raid sparked a diplomatic row between Pakistan and the United States. On Monday, NATO Chief Anders Fogh Rasmussen apologized to Pakistani officials for the attack. He said the incursion was unintended. Pakistan has closed the Western Military Alliance's main supply route into Afghanistan. Since then, hundreds of trucks and tankers loaded with supplies for NATO forces have been lining up at the border. These trucks have come under attack several times during the past few days. On Monday, militants torched at least 20 fuel tankers bound for Afghanistan. 3 people were killed in the attack. You're watching World News here on Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. Guatemala probes an American covert program involving the transfer of sexually transmitted diseases to its people. U.S. budget cuts halt police training amid high job loss among police officers. And a U.S.-led military operation in Afghanistan kills 18 people.